The second part of Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, where we read, "Thy will be done as it is on earth as it is in heaven." And then I'd like to read from James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And let's ask for God's blessing as we look to His Word. O Lord our God, as we come now to your holy word, we seek your blessing upon us as we open that word. O Lord, make your word clear to us, apply it in our hearts, and build us up in our faith and in our commitment to you as we meditate upon your holy word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And we read here, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." May God bless His holy word to our understanding this morning. And we'll be looking at various other passages as we go along as well. Excuse me. In our last sermon, we considered what we mean when we say, "Thy kingdom come." And when we pray that portion of the prayer, we see and we saw last week that Christ's kingdom is advanced as the Holy Spirit applies the salvation, the redemption purchased by Christ in the hearts of His people, enabling them to trust in Christ and then to go out and serve Him as Lord and Savior. We saw that the kingdom of God is at war with the kingdom of Satan, but that the victory has been won by Christ. Now we are now in the mopping up phase of the battle, but it is still a battle and we are still involved in it. Therefore we look forward to the last great day when we will celebrate Christ's victory in its fullness. Today we want to look at the next petition in the Lord's Prayer, which is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we want to look first at what we mean by "Thy will," and then we want to look at what we're praying for when we pray this petition of the Lord's Prayer. First of all, we need to note that there are two types of will here. God has a secret will, known to Him only, and God has a revealed will. And we want to look at each of those a little bit as we begin. God's secret will, first of all, is known only to God. God has not revealed everything to us. And we read in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law." And we need to recognize as we start off that we are not infinite as God is, and therefore we do not know all the infinite details of His good and perfect plan and purpose. Trying to understand all the details of God's secret will would be kind of like a baby trying to understand the details of nuclear physics. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a baby, I didn't understand all the details of how atoms worked and how the protons and neutrons and electrons and the things that they hadn't discovered when I was a baby still work. But they were all there and they were all working and they were things that were hidden from me. I certainly didn't understand them, and I doubt too many of us, any else understood that either. And so God, in His infinite knowledge, understands the whole plan and purpose for His creation that He has made. But He hasn't revealed the entire details of the plan and purpose of His creation to us. And if He did, it would be so mind-boggling that we couldn't even begin to fathom it all. Just think about what is in the mind of God. Think about the entire history of the world, and not just the entire history of the world, but the entire history of each and every person that has ever lived on the face of the earth. Just think about trying to keep that all straight in your mind. And it's hard for me to just keep straight what's going on in this person, let alone the church or my family or East Rochester or you name it. Think about all the people that have ever lived, all the events in history. And God has all of that in His mind. Think about that. I remember studying history, and some of you kids can relate to studying history and trying to memorize various details of history, like when this battle occurred and when that battle occurred and when this nation was started and that nation. And you know, think about it all. The infinite mind of God understands absolutely every bit of that, even though I know there were times when I was asked those questions on my tests and I couldn't answer them. God knows what we will need in order to serve Him. He knows what we need to know in order to serve Him, and He reveals that to us. And He commands us not to try and pry into the secret things of God. Prying into the secret things of God was part of the temptation that Satan used to get Adam and Eve to commit the original sin. Remember, Satan came to Eve in the garden, and he kind of tried. You know, he was very subtle and glowing, and what would happen if she just ate that one fruit that she wasn't supposed to eat? Your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, Satan said. Your eyes will be open, and you will be like God. And the temptation got to Eve and got to Adam. They tried to pry into the secret things of God. They wanted more than what God had revealed. It wasn't enough that they had everything else. They wanted that one more thing. And this remains a common problem today. People everywhere trying to get special revelations of God's secret will. And so you go around, and no matter where you go, you'll find astrologers and fortune tellers and horoscopes in the paper and various other things. We see whole religions other than Christianity built on so-called extra revelations. We want more. We want more. And even many Christians fall prey to this temptation. And so they look for external revelation apart from the Scripture. And they rely upon that. And they make prophecies that aren't in the Scripture. They study the last things. I don't know how many have looked at the various interpretations of what will happen at the end of time, but there are some pretty amazing things that people do. We can think of in our own last few decades or whatever, several times people have predicted the end of the world, and they tell you what day the world is going to end, and people have accepted that as the will of God. But God said that He's not going to tell us when that day is. And we need to understand that as we look to His world. People sometimes use special visions for making guidance and decision making. And I can remember one person that I had contact with quite a while ago, about 40 years ago, that was praying to God that, God, if you will give me a nice new organ. He was an organist in the church. I will stop this particular sin that I'm committing. And looking for a special revelation that this was to be the reasoning behind him ceasing from sin was if he got this organ, that would be proof from God that that he wasn't supposed to commit that sin. Well, Scripture told him not to commit the sin, but he was looking for something else. Deuteronomy 29:29 gives God's answer. We need to recognize that God is sovereign over all things. He has His eternal plan and His purpose for His creation. And He works all things together according to the counsel of His will. And so He understands how everything is supposed to work together. And He puts them together in such a way that they do work. We can't quite fathom how that happens. But the Scripture teaches us that He does that. And so we're to seek to faithfully serve Him in all that we do and to be content with His providence in our lives. Now, that's a hard thing to do. There are things that come about in our lives that are very difficult for us to accept. Things just don't always go the way we expect. And I've shared a few instances in recent weeks, and I won't repeat them now, but God uses even things like my being drafted into the military back in 1970 for His good and for my good and for His purpose in my life. And we need to be ready to accept that. Now, God has His secret will, but God also has revealed His will in many ways to us through the Scriptures. And the Scriptures are where we go to look for God's revealed will. And so we don't go to special revelations. We don't go to astrologers. We don't go to the horoscope page in the newspaper. But we go to the Scripture. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read, all Scripture is inspired by God. Think about that. All Scripture is inspired by God, is given by inspiration of God. God who is perfect, God who is holy, God who is all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, has given His Scripture to us. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And so, the revealed will of God is here in the Scripture. He has given it to us to use that we may know Him, that we may know and understand His call upon our lives, and that we may be His obedient and faithful servants. In our catechism, the second question, we read, the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. And so that's where we go. The teachings of Scripture applied by the Holy Spirit in our lives then give us understanding of God's will. And so when we want to understand God's will for our lives, we don't go anywhere else. We go to the Scripture and we go on our knees in prayer to God, Lord, make this Scripture clear and plain to me that I may understand Your will for my life. The Holy Spirit applies it and that gives us understanding. Through the Scripture, God teaches us how to properly interpret the creation around us. And so we see God's creation and we need to understand it. And through the Scripture, God teaches us how to properly interpret that creation. We've sung about that already this morning as we began our worship. We need to understand, for example, studying what we see around us from the perspective that God has created it. And when we understand what's around us from the perspective that it was created by God who has ultimate authority over it, it gives us a different perspective on things than what the world thinks. And so this should impact your education. As you look at what's going on and you study math and science and history, no matter what it is you study, you're studying what God has created and how it all works together. It's His creation. He has put it in place. And we need to look at it from that perspective. Through Scripture, God teaches us how we are to relate to one another. And so you think of 1 Corinthians 13, and I won't read that whole passage, but we speak of the importance of love there as we deal with one another. And we begin by saying there, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. And then the apostle goes on to speak about what love is and what love does. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, we read there, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The call there to present a godly witness to the world around us. Ephesians chapter 5, pretty much the whole chapter there, speaking about the need to turn away from immorality and unprofitable speech. The call to watch what you do and what you say. And then the call to be subject to one another. These are just a few examples. There's no way I could cover all the examples that are given in Scripture. But God teaches us clearly how we are to relate to one another. And it's through the Scripture that God teaches us of our lost condition apart from Christ. Of the fact that we are born dead in trespasses and sins. But that's the way we come into the world. And that's what leads us to sin in our lives. And through the Scripture, God reveals to us the only solution to that problem of sin and the separation that brings between us and God. Through the Scripture, God teaches us that Christ came. He came into this world. He came, He was born of the Virgin Mary without sin. He lived a life that was perfect without sin. He endured the temptations of Satan without falling into sin. He obediently went to the cross to pay the penalty for the sin of you and I as we trust in Him. He died on that cross and He rose again the third day in victory over sin and death. And He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. That's the good news of the gospel. If you trust in Christ, you have access to God through Him, our mediator. He has opened the way that you and I may come. The Scripture teaches us that. If we didn't have the Scripture, we wouldn't understand that. We need the Scripture to teach us and make that word clear. As we study the Scripture and the Holy Spirit applies the truths of Scripture in our hearts, then we're sanctified. We're made more and more like Christ, conformed more and more to His image. As we recognize sin in our lives and we turn away from it in repentance, and we seek to do all things to the glory of God. Now, if the Scripture is where we find the revealed will of God, there's an important application here. Read it. Read that Scripture. Study it. Meditate upon it. If you don't read it and meditate upon it, you won't know what God is teaching. You won't know that revealed will of God. It won't be clear to you. because you have not meditated upon it. And so the call upon us is to meditate upon that Word of God and to apply it in our daily lives. We need to read the Scripture. Well, when we come to pray this petition then, what are we praying for? Well, first of all, we're praying that God would make us able and willing to submit to His secret will in all things. That we'd trust in Him to do what is best for us as His servants, whom He loves and has chosen to be His adopted sons and daughters. Even if we don't understand the details of how that's all working out. We pray that we would submit to Him even when we don't understand. That we would be like Job. If you go back and you read the book of Job and you look at all the calamity and trial that Satan brought upon Job, and Job refused to curse God, even when faced with those horrible calamities. We pray that in every circumstance we would seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, trusting in God to work all things together for our good. And we pray also that we wouldn't try to second guess God's secret will. But instead, we need to be content to follow what He has revealed to us, leaving the secret things to Him, knowing that His secret will is perfect. It is being carried out. It will be carried out. So we're not actually praying that somehow God's secret will come to pass. And it's important to understand that. God's secret will come to pass. Period. It will come to pass. His plan and purpose will happen exactly as He intends it. But we pray that we would submit ourselves to that and that we would be willing to do so. And then we pray also that God would make us able and willing to know and obey His revealed will. That God would give us a real desire to study and apply His Word. That God would cause us when it comes time to make decisions and we're not sure what the right moral way to go would be, that we would turn to His Word and that we would follow it. That when we find through our study of God's Word that we're involved in something sinful, that we would willingly repent of our sin. That we would say, "Thy will be done, O God," even if it's hard for me. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's easy to say, "Yeah, I'm going to do that." But it's not easy to actually do it. And we pray that we would willingly submit to God's will as He teaches us in Scripture and seek to actively alter our lives as part of repentance. And note that repentance involves more than just saying, "I'm sorry I sinned, God." And yes, we do say that when we get on our knees and pray. But it involves turning away, altering what we have been doing so that we don't repeat that sin. And that may mean a personal loss to us. It may be a physical loss, a financial loss. It may involve ending improper relationships that we might have enjoyed being involved in. Even if it creates unpleasant or embarrassing situations in our lives, we need to be ready to obey God's will. And one example is that you find in the Scripture, God calls, I'm just picking one example out of here, there are a lot of them, obviously, but God calls on us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we may have to break off a relationship because of that. And that's a difficult thing to do. Or we may have to wait and pray and proclaim the gospel and rejoice as God leads the one that does not believe to trust in Christ. And then we will not be unequally yoked. when we pray this, we need to pray, and we should mean that we never allow our own personal desires to keep us from doing what God commands us to do in His Word. And so we look to that Word, we study that Word, we meditate upon that Word, we pray for God's leading and blessing upon us as we do that. We put it into practice. And if our personal desires don't agree with that Word, we accept the fact that God is sovereign, and we turn away from what may be pleasant for us but unpleasing to God. And so we see the necessity of doing the will of God at all times. And let us pray that God would make us His obedient and submissive servants. Do you pray daily that you would be submissive to God's will? Is that the way that you approach decision-making? Examine your heart and see where you stand before God. Do you study His Word? Read that Word. I encourage the children to read as well, not just the adults. Read and meditate on that Word. And as you grow up and as you come to me making more and more important big decisions, meditate on that Word. Study that Word. Put it into practice. Let us be known as doers of the Word as we seek to see God's kingdom advanced. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we do seek Your will. And we pray that You would enable us to accept Your secret will as being perfect and to submit to it. To accept the providences that You have sent our way. Help us to grow through these. And help us, O God, to be open to what You teach us in Your Word as we look to Your revealed will. And we thank You, O God, for Your Spirit who applies that Word in our hearts. O God, teach us. Teach us Your ways. Lead us in Your truth. Guide us by Your Word and Your Spirit, that we would be obedient in all things as we truly trust in You. O Lord, we pray for those that do not know You. Oh, that You would work in their hearts, and that You would make Your Word plain to them, and You would bless us as we bring that Word to them. That they too may enjoy the blessings of salvation and being reconciled with You. Bless us now, O God, as we meditate and apply Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.